I want to introduce our first speaker, Kelton Barr of Kelton Barr Consulting. I asked Kelton to set the stage for us because he has a myriad of experiences communicating with a wide range of audience. So his presentation is Communicating to All Sides, the Quandary of the Groundwater Scientist. Kelton?
So this, as Kate says, this is a framing talk about the subject. And, well, you know how we've, every time we are approaching any particular project, there's a number of activities that we carry out. This can be field monitoring, there could be drilling involved, or maybe there's geophysics, water analyses, collecting water samples, maybe it's a pumping test. A number of things that happen, and it all gets pulled together down into a report. And that report, the author starts off with a pure mind, and it's striving to be factually correct and making correct conclusions. But then that might get tempered in its language by the client and what they're wanting, or reviewers, or higher ups. And if there are other stakeholders or regulators or regulatees or lawyers, the threat of a lawsuit is always sobering, the language can get even more circumspect. So in the end, that report, especially to the general public, is, well, to be kind, it's professional speak, using arcane language, which can come across as baffling, gibberish, incomprehensible, and worst of all, misinterpreted. So, let me give you an example of a case where the usual audiences were being addressed with the reports, and then the process kind of got hijacked. And this is involving the airport back at the start of the millennia when we were going to double down on the existing Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport and transform it from what you see in this slide here, which is from the 90s, to what it became. Expansion of runways, a new north-south runway on next to Cedar on the west, and it eliminated a swath of buildings that had been there for hangars for UPS, FedEx, all these sorts of airlines, and instead they were moved into the middle of the triangle of the runways, and then they needed to have an access to that. Well, that was going to be a tunnel that was put in right here, and in fact, there was another tunnel that was going to be placed up across this runway. So it was going to be a lot of work, and a study was done of this by the airport's consultants. To put in the tunnel, it was going to have to be set down into the, you can see here, the River Warren River Train deposits. A lot of gravels. The permeability was determined to be 500 feet per day. And they were going to have to set this tunnel down into the water table. So they were going to have to do dewatering for this construction. And the report that was put together by the airport's consultants and the result of their groundwater model, the pumping rates were going to have to be, for this one tunnel, up to 6,000 gallons a minute. This was going to take place for several years. There was going to be other dewatering projects. This whole thing started with the usual request for groundwater appropriation permits. And so I was brought into this, being asked by the Minnehaha Creek Watershed District to look at it for the effect on their resources, you know, the creek that you can see there, the lakes that are near them. And at the time there was the first groundwater metro model, and we took that and used that to assess the effects, and came up with a report that was presented to the watershed board at a time that I was out of state. And report had concluded that the drawdown from the model looked to be about 4 feet of drawdown beneath Lake Nokomis. However, and then there's a number of other things you add in. Well, it's a steady state model. We don't know what the connection is with the lake, yada, yada, yada. That report was taken by a community activist that was at the meeting and turned it into a press release that simplified the language so that it was the drawdown of the lake. And that was put onto a public bulletin board that is regularly looked at by the newspapers. And the next day's headlines were there for all to see that there was going to be trouble here in River City. And as a result of that, public meetings after that, instead of having the usual trickle of people coming in, had hundreds of people, some dressed in swimming suits. The idea of having their lake dried up, Lake Nokomis is the one that they're talking about, it's not that deep. So 4 feet of drawdown could be rather catastrophic. So this gets into the whole eternal triangle that we're always looking at, where issues are emotional. And that was definitely manifested with these hundreds of people at the public meeting. And immediately the technical folks involved for all sides were getting together, doing it, starting working on the solutions to all this, coming together with the story. And so there was consensus modeling that was done, and fairly quickly we could see that we needed to decrease the pumping rates. And so decisions are political. They decided to build a wall. In fact, I think it was that day of the headline, Mayor of Minneapolis, Sharon Sales Belton, called up the MAC director and demanded a wall and got it. So what does that mean? Around this tunnel, which was over 1,000 feet long, they were going to be putting in this drawing here that was in the paper, is talking about sheet piling. But there's a number of different methods that were looked at. But basically, putting these things in and tying it into a fortuitous till layer that happened to completely underlie this tunnel, but at a depth of 50 feet. So somehow they had to tie it in all the way around and cut the pumping rate down to 600 gallons a minute. With that, no effect on lakes nearby. And so they opted for a grout barrier. And all these holes, every couple feet all around this, basically a mile or half mile of perimeter. And of course, it was being done in winter. And nothing says winter like freezing hydraulics on your drilling rig. But it got done. It got done. And this is how the process can go. Communications can get away from you. This whole controversy, as it's called, was aptly summarized by Stu Grubb in one of our newsletters. You can look in the archives, it's great reading, that looked at the events of that. And in the subsequent newsletter, there was a lament that was published by Mark Toso, which was very perceptive and will be echoing a number of things that you'll be hearing in the talks today. So it's good reading as well. So with that, I thank you for your time.